So we're reading from Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, there was a theology lecturer stood in front of his students in class, and he asked them to think of how many different names for God they could think of that are revealed in the Bible. Somebody on the front row put their hand up straight away. Jehovah Jireh, shouting out this student. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Somebody else shouted out, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Somebody else, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And then this young man shouted out from the back of the class, Harold. Beg your pardon, said the lecturer. Harold, shouted the young man. It's God's name, Harold. By this time, the lecturer was desperately scanning through scripture in his brain. Where does it say in scripture that God is called Harold? Do you want a scripture, sir? Says the young man. Yes, please, says the now rather intrigued lecturer. Why don't you share it with all of us? So the young man stands up and proudly announces, it's Luke chapter 11, verse 2. Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, Harold be your name. I do apologise. I expected a few more groans than that, but I kind of couldn't resist it. There are many names for God in Scripture, aren't there? Don't think Harold is one of them, I'll be honest. We're looking at Luke 11, and we're getting ourselves ready for Thy Kingdom Come, which starts this Thursday evening. Thy Kingdom Come is 10 days of prayer, started off in the UK, and it's spread all over the world. 10 days when Christians get on their knees before God and say, Lord, may your kingdom come. May your kingdom come in this place. And to get ready for Thy Kingdom Come, we're looking at this little passage as Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. Jesus' ministry was all about God's kingdom coming. So when the disciples ask him to teach us how to pray, it's no surprise that Jesus says, pray your kingdom come. Pray for God's kingdom to come. Do you ever wonder how it was for the disciples as they watched Jesus day to day carrying out his ministry? So far in Luke's gospel, they'll have seen Jesus heal all sorts of people. They'll have seen Jesus do amazing miracles. They'll have watched Jesus teach and preach. But they'll also have watched Jesus pray. Jesus withdrawing to pray again and again and again. Sometimes going off alone, sometimes praying through the night, sometimes inviting the disciples to pray with him. Jesus has this rhythm to his life of doing what he does, of giving out, and then withdrawing to pray. Breathing out and then breathing in. Maybe a better way of thinking about it is that Jesus would breathe in first, that they then might breathe out words of life. Breathe out, demonstrating God's kingdom coming. And the disciples must have watched this, and they must have made this connection, surely, between Jesus' prayer life and the things that they saw him doing. They must have seen how important prayer was to Jesus. As I say, he would stay up all night on occasion praying. I bet he was tired. I bet his stomach was rumbling. So they ask him, they see this, and they say, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus teaches them what becomes for us the Lord's Prayer. This in Luke is quite a short version of it. In the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6, there's a longer version. It's like Luke is just giving us the headlines here. And I think when Jesus teaches them to pray, I don't think Jesus was saying, every time you pray, pray exactly like this. Pray these words. I think he was teaching them how to pray, how to approach God, what sort of things we should pray about. Having said that, I love praying the Lord's Prayer. Just in the last year or two, I've been praying the Lord's Prayer for, you know, since I became a Christian when I was 20. But in the last year or two, my love for it has just grown. And I pray it a lot when I walk around from meetings and place to place in this parish. I pray the Lord's Prayer over and over again. And I just try to picture, as I pray each line, what that looks like here now, what it looks like in my life, what that looks like in the lives of the people that I'm going to visit, and what it looks like in this place in Withall and Hollywood. What does it look like for God's will to be done in that conversation that's going to happen later today, or in that person's life, or in my life today? So Jesus teaches his disciples, and I think teaches us, how to pray, how to approach God, and what sort of things to ask for, to pray into. So as we get ready for Thy Kingdom Come on Thursday, we're looking at this passage. If you've got a Bible, please do have it open. Luke chapter 11, and it's just the first four verses. First of all, Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. Father, hallowed be your name. I've got some slides, Rob. If you wouldn't mind popping them up, that'd be great. Father, hallowed be your name. Jesus reminds us that we pray to our Heavenly Father, our loving Father, our Father who loves us with a passion that we cannot get our heads around, who is compassionate towards us, who has good plans for us, who promises to hear us when we pray and to answer. For the Jewish people who were listening, the idea of God as Father was something they understood. It went right back to their time when they were in Egypt, when they were in slavery, desperate to be set free. In Exodus 4, it says that God told Moses to say to Pharaoh, Israel, that's God's people, Israel is my firstborn son. Let my son go so that he may worship me. So for the Jewish people to call on God as Father was to remember that he's the God that sets us free. He's the God who provides for our needs, feeds us in the wilderness. He's the one that watches over us. He's the God who will one day usher in a new kingdom. This is Father God. Some people here might struggle with the idea of calling God Father. The word Father is a difficult word for some people because of their own experience with their own father here on earth. And that's so understandable, totally understandable. All I can say really is that God is not like us. God is not like humans. Where we are fallen and where we make mistakes and bad choices, God is a holy and perfect God. And so he's a holy and perfect Father who we can trust. So when we say our Father, we can come to him as his children, looking to him in trust, looking to him in expectation. We pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Tom Wright translates that as, may your name be honoured. You only have to watch the TV for a few minutes or walk down the street and listen to conversations or go to a cafe or somewhere to hear the opposite of God's name being honoured. It's even been shortened, hasn't it, for convenience these days. OMG. Oh my God. We hear it over and over again. And it's not being said as an act of worship, as an act of reverence before our perfect, loving Heavenly Father. It's being used to dishonour God's name, which is not good. Jesus says, pray that God's name would be honoured. Pray that his name would be honoured. As we prayer walk around our parish for thy kingdom come, that's the call, to prayer walk around the streets for 10 days, either in your head, if you're not a walker, or using your feet if you are a walker. As we do that over thy kingdom come, we can pray for God's name to be honoured, for people to know who God is. That when we think of the word, the name, God, people will think of one who is good, who is compassionate, who is faithful, who is near. So I pray, Father God, may your name be honoured in us as your people here at St. Mary's. May your name be honoured in the streets, in the homes, especially in Withal and Hollywood, but the places that we're all from here this morning. And may you be known as a loving, perfect Heavenly Father, for that is who you are to us and to all who will call on your name. Amen. So Jesus goes on, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Thank you, Rob. Your kingdom come. As I've said, this is really at the heart of Jesus' ministry. God's kingdom coming. God's kingdom breaking in. Jesus talks about it all the time. And he starts his ministry by saying, repent, the kingdom of God is near. So while we pray in our developed version of the Lord's Prayer, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. May heaven break in, God's kingdom breaking in. That's why Jesus came, to bring heaven to earth, to bring God's kingdom and God's ways to us. And Jesus is doing that today still. And when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we don't mean just it'd be nice one day in the future, but we mean now. There's an urgency about our prayer. May your kingdom break in now. There's an understanding of the gospel that I certainly heard when I was growing up that says, Jesus died for my sins so that when I die, I'll go to heaven. And that's true, but it misses something really important out. Because Jesus came to bring heaven to earth. And that started when he was born 2,000 years ago. He came to bring heaven to earth, and it has started. It is happening. It's not just something that we're waiting for one day. Heaven has come to us. There's a quote you'll see on the screen from John Mark Comer from his book, Practicing the Way, where John Mark Comer puts it like this. For Jesus, salvation is less about getting you into heaven and more about getting heaven into you. Do you see the difference? It starts now. And surely that will change the way that we pray. We pray with a greater urgency. I want to see your kingdom, Lord, breaking in now. What would God's kingdom breaking in now look like in this location, in this school, in Woodrush, in the street that you live in? Just close your eyes for a minute and let your imagination run wild. What would God's kingdom coming, breaking in, look like in this location? I think we should picture it, and then we should pray for it. Pray for it. Lord, we do pray for your kingdom to come in increasing measure, and we pray now, Lord, that your kingdom break in. We're desperate to see more of your kingdom. Desperate to see more of your ways on earth. In us, in the life of this church, but in this location as well, in the places where we live. May we see signs of your kingdom breaking in, Lord, more and more every day. We pray for your kingdom to come. Amen. And then Jesus goes on, he says, give us each day our daily bread. We're to look to God, trusting that he knows what we need, trusting that he will provide what we need. There was a lovely moment in the first service where I say lovely, it wasn't for her because she was coughing quite badly. Somebody was coughing over here at the front, and immediately somebody else just got a glass of water and just very quietly brought it to her. I just thought, that is what God's like. He knows what we need and he will provide it. He will provide it. Give us each day our daily bread. We need to pray this for ourselves, but we can pray this for others And if we're praying for God's kingdom to come in Withall and Hollywood and the places where you live, then let's pray that on behalf of others, for their needs to be met. God knows what they need. So we can just pray, Lord, supply them with their needs. But here's a little challenge for you. Wouldn't it be good to ask them how we can pray for them? It reminds me of the apostles in Acts saying, Lord, give us boldness as we share your gospel. Give us boldness to say, maybe you might do some prayer walking. I hope some people will for those 10 days. Imagine walking down a street and just bumping into people and saying, this is what we're doing. We're praying for the local streets. How can we pray for you? Just asking them, how good would that be? Slightly terrifying, slightly exciting. Come on, Lord. Give us boldness, Lord, as we pray for the needs of our neighbours. Give us boldness as we go out to pray for this place. Thank you that you know what we need. You know what our neighbours need, even before we ask. And thank you that you are a generous and good God. And you give us what we need. Amen. Jesus goes on to say, forgive us as we forgive others. And this is all about the kingdom of God breaking in. That we would be in a right relationship with God. That because Jesus died on that cross, we can be right with God. Cleansed and forgiven. Rescued and freed. Healed and made whole. Right with God. And Jesus says, as we pray for our own forgiveness, we also pray, we also forgive those who sin against us. Now hang on a little minute there. I can just about cope with God forgiving me for my sin, just about. But do I have to forgive other people as well, really? And it seems to me that Jesus is saying yes. To know and experience, to receive God's full forgiveness, there's something about us forgiving other people. And that is a big subject in itself to talk about. All I will say today is that when God's kingdom comes, relationships are restored. It's at the heart of God's kingdom. Our relationship with God is restored, but our relationships with each other, our relationship with our neighbour is restored. Good and healthy relationships, reconciliation is at the heart of God's kingdom. So as we pray, your kingdom come for these 10 days, let's pray for relationships to be restored. And let's be part of that. Let's live it out. If there's somebody we need to forgive, let's ask God to give us the grace and the ability to forgive them. Lord, would you forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? Amen. Jesus goes on to say, lead us not into temptation. Can be a struggle, this prayer, can't it? It almost seems like God might lead us into temptation, like he's playing a game with us or something. But what it means is, keep us away from temptation, Lord. Keep us from evil. The New Living Translation puts it like this, don't let us yield to temptation. The Message version says, keep us safe from ourselves, from all that is wrong within us, and from the devil. Keep us safe. There's a note in my NIV Bible here that says, lead us not into temptation. And some manuscripts say, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Keep us safe is what Jesus is saying we need to pray. And there are two risks concerning our attitude towards the devil, towards evil, towards all that will come against us. Two big risks that we often liable to fall into. The first risk is that we don't take evil seriously. We don't take the work of Satan, the work of the devil, seriously. We live as though there's no opposition to God's kingdom coming, which I would suggest is a bit of a naive, dangerous way to live, especially when you take into account that Jesus, in two or three verses, teaches his disciples how to pray and says, be safe, pray that God would keep you safe from the evil one. Keep you safe from temptation and the evil one. The second risk is that we become obsessed with the work of the devil, with evil. In a sense, we see evil all around us in a glorified way. We make too much of it. We see it everywhere we look. The risk with that is that we risk living, taking our eyes off of Jesus and instead putting our eyes on the evil one. A bit like Peter, when he walks on the water, he's looking at Jesus, he's fine. When he takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at the waves and the water and the storm, he starts to sink. But Peter learned. And in his first letter, in 1 Peter 5, Peter instructs us to be alert, be of sober mind. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Be alert, be aware. There is an enemy. But the psalmist in Psalm 37 writes, the wicked plot against the righteous. They gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. So be of sober mind. Be aware that there is an evil one. That as we pray, thy kingdom come. Maybe especially as we pray that, there will be opposition. There'll be stuff that happens that comes against us. There'll be evil activity. Be aware. Be alert and of sober mind. But remember that God laughs in the face of Satan, for he knows his day is coming. As Paul writes to the Romans, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Jesus is victorious. So as we pray for our parish, as we pray for the places where we live, over thy kingdom come, let's pray for God's protection. Let's pray for that ability to stand against the evil's schemes. Let's pray that God will keep us safe, held in his hands. If you go prayer walking during thy kingdom come, pray for protection in this area. Pray for these schools. Pray for the businesses. And pray confident that Jesus is victorious. Confident that there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. We pray for ourselves, Lord, and we pray for the people of Withal and Hollywood. We pray for the people, the places where we live, that we would not give in to temptation, that we would not jump in with what the evil one is doing. We ask you to keep us safe, keep us in Christ, and we pray for your protection. In Jesus' victorious name, amen. I've mentioned a book that I've been reading recently. I really recommend it. Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. And I read this recently, and the quote will be on the screen. For those of you who want to embark on the journey of a lifetime, let me offer you a few next steps, he says. You must daily hold before your mind and imagination the beauty and the possibility of life in the kingdom of God. Day by day, fill your heart with the wonder of the person, gospel, and life of Jesus. Read and reread the Gospels. Pore over each story. Turn your mind to him in prayer. Gaze on the Son of God. I said earlier that Jesus' life was a rhythm of breathing in and then breathing out. That rhythm of retreating to pray, to seek God afresh, his heavenly Father, that he may then go out empowered, then go out to bring life, to see the kingdom come. I wonder if we could apply that rhythm to our own lives a little bit more intentionally, that breathing in, that we may breathe out. Breathing in by time in prayer, by time with our heavenly Father, that we get a clearer, a renewed picture of what his kingdom looks like, that we may then breathe out, that we may pray as he would have us pray, for his kingdom to come now, and that we may do what he calls us to do as we do life where he has sent us. Father, we pray that your kingdom would come in us and in the places where you send us, and especially in this place in Withall and Hollywood. We pray it would come quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.